Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, the 22nd of November, Cardinal Parolin expresses concern over the escalation of the war in Ukraine whilst echoing Pope Francis's call for an investigation into genocide in Gaza. The head of the World Meteorological Organization warns of the urgent need to address climate change, and pilgrims are travelling across India and the world to see the relics of St. Francis Xavier on display in Goa State. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Cardinal Parolin expressed his concern for the escalation of war in Ukraine, and echoing Pope Francis's reiterated appeals, he called on leaders to stop the conflict before the irreparable takes place. The Vatican Secretary of State was speaking on the sidelines of a book presentation at a Rome university on Friday morning. As Linda Baldoni reports, on the day following the ICC's arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, upon which he did not comment, Parolin also reflected on Pope Francis's recent remarks regarding the need to investigate whether Israeli warfare in Gaza can be classified as genocide.
Answering questions put to him by journalists at a book launch in Rome, Cardinal Pietro Parolin expressed the Vatican's deep concerns about escalating global tensions, while refraining from commenting on the International Criminal Court's arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on charges of war crimes in Gaza. The cardinal called for urgent action to de-escalate the ongoing war in Ukraine. He highlighted the Holy See's distress over recent developments in Ukraine, including the use of British and American-made long-range missiles and Russian threats of a broader global conflict. Echoing Pope Francis, he appealed to world leaders to stop now while there's still time. This escalation, he said, could spiral out of control with consequences no one can foresee. The Vatican, he added, continues its humanitarian efforts in Ukraine, focusing on prison exchanges and the repatriation of Ukrainian children taken to Russia. While no recent progress has been reported, Parolin reiterated the importance of these initiatives, both for moral reasons and because, he said, they may lay the ground for eventual peace negotiations. On Israeli warfare in Gaza, the cardinal addressed Pope Francis's remarks regarding the high death toll that has surpassed 44,000 and whether the conflict could be classified as genocide. He explained that the Pope emphasized the need for rigorous study based on international legal criteria before drawing conclusions. I'm Linda Bordoni.
We just heard it. 44,000 people have been killed in Gaza since the 7th of October 2023. As Nathan Morley reports, even as the ICC issues an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, there has been no let-up of violence, with Israeli airstrikes in Gaza and Lebanon killing scores of people.
In the Gaza Strip, the civil defence announced the death of 22 people after an Israeli strike in the city of Gaza. Another night raid in the area of Beit Lahar and Jabalia left dozens dead and missing, according to medical sources. Over in Lebanon, reports there suggest that 12 people were killed and 50 injured in Israeli airstrikes on the south of the country. UN humanitarians said evacuation orders and airstrikes had forced more than 880,000 people from their homes in Lebanon. In other developments, the US President Joe Biden has called an international criminal war crimes arrest warrant for the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as being outrageous. On Thursday, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for the former defence minister Yoav Gallant and the Hamas commander Mohammed Diab, who's believed to be dead. The arrest warrants mean that if Netanyahu or Gallant travel to one of the 124 countries that are signatories to the Rome Statute, they could face arrest. This includes many of Israel's allies. The decision is also expected to increase international pressure on Israel to agree to a ceasefire. Neither the United States nor Israel are members of the ICC, which is a permanent court charged with prosecuting and trying individuals accused of genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. Israeli politicians have reacted with outrage, including the former Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett. For his part, Mr. Netanyahu called the decision of the ICC anti-Semitic, saying he was the victim of a new Dreyfus trial. Calling the ICC accusations absurd and false, Netanyahu's office added that Israel would not yield to pressure and would not be deterred, nor would it back down. Over the past months, Israel had sought to block the issuance of the arrest warrants, arguing that the ICC lacked jurisdiction over the country, but the court dismissed Israel's challenge. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In 2014, Pope Francis established a pontifical commission for the protection of minors. In 2019, he organized an international conference in the Vatican on child protection, and he has also implemented many legal and pastoral reforms to establish a culture of protection worldwide. On Thursday evening, during a conference at the Pontifical Gregorian University, Australian Ambassador to the Holy See, Chiara Porro, advocated for effective safeguarding measures and cooperation between the Church and the state in the realm of child protection. After the event, she spoke to Vatican News, reiterating some of the fundamental points that she made throughout her speech.
I think listening to survivors has been, for me, really something that has changed also the way I see this issue and the way that institutions can respond to this issue. I think any response to this issue needs to be survivor-led and have the survivors really at the centre of the response. The other issue that I've come across a lot, including in the handling of cases, has been transparency. That is really something that I think all institutions need to work better at. And it's, again, linked to making sure that things are dealt with consistently too, and cases are all dealt with consistently and in the same way, and for justice, effectively. And finally, I think leadership really is the other area where I think any institution needs to take accountability for the actions, and it's not just the actions of a few, but the fact that institutions can also act as a basis to foster this abuse and this abuse of power, effectively, which is what it is. So there's a lot more that needs to be done in all our institutions, and I really hope that the Catholic Church and the Vatican continues on this path and continues to take this issue extremely seriously, as it should be.
And opening the conference was Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, who spoke to Vatican News at the end.
This lecture was arranged, I think, by Father Hans Olmer to give Ambassador Porro the opportunity to share her reflections on the experience of grappling with the question of safeguarding in the context of child abuse, in particular, obviously, child abuse within the Catholic Church. And I think, yes, her conclusions are very interesting, and I think that we have much to learn from her. Obviously, she was presenting it very much from a Australian point of view, the initiatives that have been taken there, the experience both of church and of the state. And I think there is, yes, a lot to be done. It's encouraging the fact that I think more and more, as we say, people are getting the courage within and without the church to face up to the issues, to the truth about these things, and to try and work with that. And I think that that is something that will help us to be able to move forward with any reforms that we need to create, what the Holy Fathers were saying, you know, a safe environment for the children.
And we just heard from Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, and before that from Australian Ambassador to the Holy See, Chiara Porro. Meanwhile, Pope Francis met on Friday with Ms. Celeste Saolo, Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, the UN's agency responsible for the coordination of meteorological, hydrological and related activities. Following the audience with Pope Francis, Celeste Saolo told Vatican News that during her conversation with the Holy Father, they shared the urgency of addressing climate change and that the agency is looking forward to a closer collaboration with the Holy See and other religions on this crucial issue.
The Pope is really very concerned about what is happening with the climate. So it's about working in our common agenda and how we protect the house of all of us. And the discussion was interesting, and I think that there are many things we can do together.
And what was the key message you could share with Pope Francis?
First, of course, introducing him to what we do, the World Meteorological Organization. We are the specialized agency on water, weather, and climate. And we see with great concern all the parameters that we measure that they are getting worse. So that means that we are going in the wrong direction. Temperature is rising, sea levels are rising as well, the glaciers are melting. So every single indicator is going worse. And this is, it can be translated into huge impacts in migration, childhood being greatly affected, women, indigenous populations. So those that are more vulnerable are the ones suffering the most. This is a mutual concern, and yes, we have things to do. We can bring hope using the power of the religions to really bring more action. Action that should be informed by science, but moved by faith, by love. So there are things we can do to protect the people or in the adaptation for them to be prepared to the extreme weather. So this is a common agenda that we can work together. So I'm sure that we will continue this dialogue between the Vatican and the World Meteorological Organization.
What are the most vulnerable regions you have identified?
In general, the African continent, also Southeast Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. And I would highlight the small island developing states, because sea level rise is really one of the top concerns, because for these small island states, there is no choice, and we need to help them to avoid the consequences.
And finally, pilgrims from across India and beyond are flocking to Goa State for the decennial exposition of the holy relics of St. Francis Xavier at the Basilica of Bom Jesus in Goa. Sister Florina Joseph has more.
Goa attracts thousands of pilgrims and tourists every 10 years for the exposition of the sacred relics of St. Francis Xavier. According to reports from Catholic Connect, the 18th solemn exposition of the holy relics commenced on the 21st of November at the Basilica of Bom Jesus in Old Goa and will continue until January 2025. This historic celebration honors St. Francis Xavier, renowned for his missionary work across Asia. He is venerated for his significant role in spreading Christianity, particularly in India. On 21st November, Cardinal Philip Neri Antonio, Archbishop of Goa and Damao, welcomed a congregation of 12,000 faithful from India and abroad during the inaugural Eucharistic celebration. The main celebrant, Archbishop Anil Joseph Thomas Koto of Delhi, described St. Francis Xavier as a man on a mission whose life bore witness to Christ's salvific redemption. In his homily, he urged the faithful to emulate the saint's passionate zeal and spiritual legacy of discipleship. The sacred relics of St. Francis Xavier were carried in a procession from the Basilica of Bom Jesus to the Sei Cathedral in a specially designed electric carriage transporting the saint's casket. Usually housed in the Basilica of Bom Jesus, the relics will be open for public veneration at the Sei Cathedral daily from 3 p.m. until the conclusion of the exposition in January 2025. This multi-week event includes various religious ceremonies such as masses, prayer services, novenas, and processions. The solemn exposition is a time for profound spiritual reflection, devotion, and celebration, showcasing the rich cultural and religious heritage of Goa. I'm Sister Florina Joseph, SCN.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please do visit our website at vaticannews.va, and you can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram pages. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti, our sound engineer in studio today. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.